Thank you all so much for thanks so much for having me here. I appreciate the invitation. June happens to be National Safety Month, and as Greg says, this is what I do for a living. I get to travel the country virtually and in person and talk to people about living and working safely. The topic that Tracy and I originally discussed me talking about is something that has been what's kept me busy, and that's generative AI is on the scene now, and what I have done is that I'm an advocate for it, and I know a lot of you use it. And for those of you who don't, I'm going to advocate that you do use it because it is a wonderful tool. It's a great tool. However, being the safety lady, I have to point out the safety implications as well as the dangers. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about ways to use the tool in a safe way. So if you're tempted to use them, let's talk about how to do it safely because so many people are afraid and I want to remove the fear. And then I'm also going to spend a lot of time talking to you about how cyber criminals are using these tools and they're targeting everyone and particularly vulnerable communities. And that could be older people, younger people, or people who just do not understand how the tools are being used. So let me pull my slides up, and I know some will be able to see them. For those who cannot, I am going to describe them for you, as I typically do. So I have my slides up on the screen, and I'm going to warn you, I have a lot of information. I've cut down my presentation since I have a shorter time with you all. Typically, I can go 60 minutes and 90 is my preferred, and I can also do up to 3. So I've my typical program is 3 hours, but today I'm summarizing that. I'm breaking it down and I'm highlighting what I think you all need to know. First of all, when we talk about AI, I have a slide up that says AI is a game changer. It's not that it makes your life easier, it changes your life. That's a quote that I saw on social media, and I firmly believe it. And then also, okay, so here we go. So again, I'm going to ask you all to ask questions as we go along. If you would not mind unmuting and just jump right in there as we go, because when I'll probably go right up to 2:45 and may not have time at the end, so ask them as we go along. One thing that I do is I talk about scams and frauds that are out there. You see them in the news headlines, but what I have done is I've created content around them. On the screen now is a picture of an older person, you know, on the phone looking shocked. That's a deep fake. I created that. The person does not exist. And I use that to illustrate the senior citizen scams, the grandparent scam, which we'll talk about. I have another image that I created of a guy looking at a piece of paper that has a QR code on it. I'm going to talk about QR code scams. And then there's a young person sitting at a laptop, another one of my deep fakes. And I'm touching up on it. This is not necessarily the place to talk about it in detail. I have had an opportunity to talk to high school students, and I'm doing a boot camp with kids of all ages. But if you have kids in your life, you will want to hear this. I created a Facebook page that allows me to share all of these kind of stories, informations, and programs. It is called Safety and Security Source. So I have the page on the screen, and I'm going to make sure you all have the link if you're interested in joining. There are four types of people. And then again, this is a screen that I have. And as I say each number, they will pop up on the screen. The first type of person is the person who will be hacked, have their identity stolen. The second type of person is those that have already been hacked. I'm sure everyone here knows someone, if not you, who has had a story of a hack or an identity theft or some kind of a breach. The third type of person is those that have no idea that they've been hacked. And the people that I am talking today are those who have taken the proper steps to avoid being hacked. Here's something that I do in each of my classes. When I first start, I say that crime, cybercrime particularly, and that's what we're talking about today, is preventable. If you listen to what I say, if you do what I ask you to do and follow the instructions, you can never be the victim of a cybercrime. That's a big statement. It's a big principle, but it is true. So if you listen to me and just follow the directions, and you'll understand as we get through, we're going to do a little interaction now. Okay, I need someone to unmute, and I need one person to answer each of these questions. So can someone tell me the name of their first pet? Just one person unmute. Tell me the name of your first pet.
Smoky.
I heard a voice. Can you say your name and say it again? It got cut off.
Michael, the first pet was Smokey.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, can someone tell me the name of their favorite teacher?
Could we just say Catherine?
Oh, is can you say your name
This
and
is
the
Tracy.
answer?
This
Oh,
is
okay,
Tracy.
Tracy. Okay, who's your favorite teacher?
Catherine.
Catherine. Okay, thank you. And final question. Who can give me the name of your high school mascot?
This is Robin Eagle.
Thank you, Robin. Okay, everyone, thank you all for participating. But guess just what just happened? You're all socially engineered, and it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It happens to all of us. We all do it. My goal is that we pay attention before we do it again. Social engineering is when a cyber criminal or a criminal tricks us into giving information that we typically would not give, information that they can use to steal our identity or hack into our accounts. So think about it. Think about if you've ever lost a password when you're trying to log in online, you're going to get a screen that you can click lost password, and then you'll get some security challenge questions, right? What are those questions typically? It could be what mother's maiden name, the street you grew up on. It could be your favorite teacher. It could be your high school mascot. So you see where I'm going with this. So the whole point of cyber criminals socially engineering us is they're telling us, give us the password information. Let us help guess your password. And then they will use the information that you have on your social media if you're not careful. And we'll talk about how to be careful. And they'll try to guess your password. So that's why when you're answering these questions on social media, you need to be careful. We're on social media, all of us. I am. To be social, you want to have fun, you want to interact with people, get to know people. That's perfectly fine. All I'm asking is going forward, keep in mind how the bad guys are using it and be careful the information that you share based on that. I saw a social media post where someone says, and I have the screenshots on the screen right now. Someone says, I'm turning 31 in 2025. How old are you guys turning this year? So think about the question. And then I'm going to read to you a couple of the responses. So I have someone saying, I'll be turning 60 in January. And then someone says 67 on 9/14 Virgo Nation. Someone said, I'll be 53 in December. Can someone unmute and tell me what the poster could be trying to do and what they've accomplished by asking that seemingly innocent question? Someone unmute and tell me.
This is
They have
Robin.
your age.
Yes, they have your
Yeah.
age. Thank you. Not only your age, they have your exact birth date. So
Yep.
now they can use that information and steal your identity. So it seems like an innocent question. So all I am saying is moving forward, when you see these kind of questions, put Tracy, the safety lady, in your head and say, what did Tracy say about this? And then proceed with caution. And another thing is, today I'm going to give you a lot of information. You're not going to be able to write it all down, and you're not going to be able to remember it all. ChatGPT and I co-wrote a booklet that can be downloaded, and I'll make sure you have the link at the end. And also understand that you don't have to remember everything I say, but I am raising your awareness. You are at least aware that these kind of crimes will happen, and I guarantee you, knowing what can happen will help avoid being the victim. I have an honor of having been selected to be the podcast host for the country's only real estate safety podcast. We won an award. I've started my own podcast where I'm talking to people about safety. I'm talking to experts. I get to write for publications about safety, security, and now generative AI cybersecurity. I've had the honor of being interviewed on the Today Show, CNN.com, the Boston Globe, Washington Post, CNET, Essence Magazine, different publications. So my platform is pretty big. So I always ask if you have a concern, if there is a topic that you think needs to have the light shed on it or shined on it, please let me know and I'm happy to address it. And I love when I get an opportunity to talk to people in my own backyard instead of just all over the country. So I am especially honored to be here today. Tighten up. That's a complete sentence. That is from a person whose organization had a data breach. It was a hack and it was in the news. Has anyone here ever gotten a letter from a company that you do business with and says, sorry, you have been involved in a data breach, and as a result, we are going to give you free credit monitoring? Anyone, can you, if so, unmute and tell me yes or no. Have you ever been involved and gotten a letter from a company?
Yes, Ray Miles.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Ray, okay, you have. Okay, so you know that they offered you an opportunity to get a free credit monitoring because of their breach. Did you take them up on that offer?
No.
Okay, typically that's what happens, Raymond. They will say, because of this breach, we, you know, we're sorry, your information's out there, but here's how we're going to help you. You know, we're giving you a year or however long of a credit monitoring service. So that way, if your information is on the dark web, which it typically is, then we will help you solve the problem. So review your documents or talk to the company and see if that's accurate. And along those same lines, keep in mind that your credit report can help you avoid being the victim of a cybercrime if you lock your credit report. Everyone has the opportunity to lock your credit report. I think there are, what, three major credit bureaus, and they will allow you to lock it. So that way, if someone does steal your identity and they're trying to make a purchase or apply for credit in your name, you're going to get an alert and say, hey, you know, someone tried to apply for credit in your name. And then you will know that your identity has been breached and you can take proper steps. But you also understand that they can't get credit in your name because you've taken the step. Is it a hassle to have to unlock your credit report when you want to apply for something? Maybe. But think about the big picture. It's worth it. Because once you've ever had your identity stolen and you've had to try to get it back or ever had a breach, you will know the years-long nightmare that it is. So locking your credit report is the first thing that you can do. The next screen has a big bullseye and it says you are the target. I had an opportunity to interview a Colorado Bureau of Investigation cybercrimes agent, and I said, I talk to thousands of people every year. What advice would you tell me to tell anyone that I talk to? She said, tell them that you are the target. So no matter where you live, no matter how much money you have, criminals are looking for all of us. And those of us who think it'll never happen to me, I don't have enough money, I'm in a small town, no one pays attention, you will have a bigger bullseye on you because they don't care. They want anyone and everyone. And again, all of us know someone who has been the victim of one of these crimes, whether they steal your credit card number or apply for credit in your name. Doesn't matter what you have. So understand that it could happen to you. And as a result, you need to be security aware, which is what we are doing today. Okay, lessons learned. I like real life stories because I think real life stories helps us understand that it can happen to people just like us. On the screen, I have a picture, an AI deepfake picture that I created. It has a lady and a guy in cowboy hats, and it says Wild Wild West. When ChatGPT came on the scene in November of 2022, it was the Wild Wild West. Some people were using it and just using it for anything and everything. Some people were petrified. Question, who, and I'm wondering if I'll get more response if I ask who's using it or who's not using it. So let's start with the who's using it. Who here is using any of the tools? It could be Copilot, it could be ChatGPT, Gemini, any of the tools. Who's using it?
This is Robin, I do.
I am.
Okay.
Who's this? This is Tracy. Greg. On occasion.
Okay, on occasion. Okay, who's not using it? Who will not touch it no matter what anyone says?
Tracy, Diane, AA. That would be me.
It will be Diane. Okay. My goal today is to, for those of you who are not using it for whatever reason, and a lot of times I find out that people are just afraid. They don't understand it and they don't know what they do. So, of course, I have abbreviated time, but my goal is to show you that it's a positive thing and you can use it without fear if you understand it. So let's talk a little bit about people who say, I hate AI, never will use it. We're all using it every day. If you watch YouTube videos, AI is the one suggesting like similar videos that you may want. If you like Netflix, that's AI. If you have a smart thermostat, that's AI. Spell check. If you have a Ring or any other kind of video camera or surveillance camera, that's AI. And you all already know if you have Alexa, Siri, Nest, or any of those tools, Those are all AI tools. So, like it or not, all of us are using AI. Anyone ever been to a restaurant, a drive-through, and then you get that voice that comes on the speaker and it's like, whoa, something's a little weird. McDonald's is using AI. They have a voice that will take your order. So people wonder about whether or not AI will replace jobs. It will. And those of us who are thinking, oh gosh, you know, it's going to take my job. What I'd like to teach is that you can use it to make yourself and use it to enhance you and to make your skills a little bit better where you are irreplaceable. Otherwise, yes, it can replace your job. At some point, some jobs have already been replaced. Think about it. That person who called in to McDonald's and said, I'm not coming to work today, the employer said, well, I'll just hire AI to take orders. It replaced that job. So all of us can make our jobs a little more secure by learning how to use the tools so that they can't replace us, but they enhance our output. On the screen, I have an image of a guy holding his face, looking shocked, saying, using AI and being used by AI. What I mean by that is we use AI to create books, to create letters, blog posts, emails, scripts, anything. Cyber criminals are using the tools as well, but keep in mind that the tools are using what we're giving them in order to learn. So any information that you put in, that's how it learns. Anything that you see that you get when you create a prompt, which is an instruction, in order to get it to do anything, you have to give it a prompt. That information comes from the internet. So anything you put in there, it's public knowledge, and they're using the tools to learn. You do have an option to opt out of most of the tools. So think about it. I had someone say that they uploaded their medical report. They got the big long diagnosis, and they uploaded it to one of the tools. And they asked, you know, based on my medical history, tell me what I should be eating, give me some exercises. How do I be healthy? Okay, can the tools do that? Yes, they can. But guess what? You've just shared all of your medical history with the world. So, no personal information, no proprietary information, no financial information. Everything in the tool can be public. So if you're doing it for business and you're uploading business documents, maybe your profit and loss, or you want to create a marketing plan for a client and you put your client's name, address, and that information and you upload it, yes, it will provide a great personalized content for you or whatever you're trying to create. But now everybody in the world knows. So no personal information. So before you upload anything, redact the name, redact the personal identifiable information, redact the name, redact the address, anything that can be identified, upload it, and then add that in later. So you can definitely use the tools. For people who say AI is a problem, no, it's not. The people who use it wrong are the problem, and the criminals who use it are the problems. And we will talk about that. The next screen says, trust your gut. All of us are built with a survival mechanism that's hardly ever wrong. This could be for personal safety, it could be when you're on the computer, using AI, any circumstance. We all have a built-in survival mechanism that is designed to keep us safe. Can anyone tell me what that is?
Fight or flight?
What are we born? Oh, go ahead.
Hi, this
Is it?
is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just wondering the built-in mechanism, the fight or flight mode.
Thank you. Exactly. We all have intuition. Every animal in nature has it. Human beings are the only ones who ignore it. And we ignore it because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. That's instinct, intuition, fight or flight, like you said, spidey sense, gut, sixth sense, whatever you want to call it. In the age of AI, it's even more important than before. Whenever you get that voice, understand that your gut has no agenda other than to keep you safe. So when your stomach, you get that funny feeling in your stomach, your heart's beating fast, the hairs are standing up on your arm, your body is saying you're in danger, get out of this situation. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to justify it. Get out of the situation. And then you have time when you're offline to figure it out. And then if you have to go back and apologize or explain yourself, so it goes. But understand that voice is your first line of defense. I saw the author of a book called The Gift of Fear on the Oprah show. His name is Gavin DeBecker. That book, I've got like four or five copies on my bookshelf behind me. That book should be required reading for everyone. It tells us how to listen to our bodies, it gives us stories, and it That book can change your life and keep everyone safe. So Question next is AI friend or foe? It depends on where you're coming from and it depends on who's using it. It can be your friend, but it's a foe if you don't know how cyber criminals are using it. And after today, you will know, so it will not be an issue. In the age of AI, you can no longer believe what you see, what you hear, and what you read. That's over. No such thing as believing what you see. It could be a deep fake. Believing what you hear, that voice on the phone that sounds exactly like your mom, your sister, your boss, could be a voice impersonation deep fake. What you're reading could be phishing emails, perfectly and grammatically correctly written by a cyber criminal. So all of that's out the window, and that's sad, but that's our reality. There are different tools, ChatGPT, Gemini Copilot, Midjourney, Perplexity. I say find one or two tools that you like that does what you need it to do and learn how to use them efficiently and effectively as opposed to trying every single tool because you lose your edge. When they first came out, I remember trying to create content. I would put it in chat and then I would go to Gemini and Copilot trying to decide which is the best. The time that I spent on that was wasted time. So after you play around, decide which ones you're going to use and focus on them. You can use these tools to write sales letters, to translate if you don't speak another language, now you do. Blog posts, social media campaigns, video scripts. You can write a book, and I've done a few of them, and I'll briefly talk about how. Now, when we talk about AI, keep in mind that you can use it for good and you can use it for bad. My goal is that you all use it for good and that you stop those who are trying to use it for bad. Right now on the screen, I am showing a picture of dictionary.com and they have selected hallucination as the word of the year. I think that was last year. Why? Because these tools hallucinate. Another word for hallucinate is lie. They lie. They make up stuff. On the screen is someone asking ChatGPT, what's the heaviest hippo? And there is a detailed answer. The heaviest hippo ever recorded was a male named Luanja, and it weighed however much. And so much information, historical information, every word of it is made up. The tool sounds convincing, it sounds authoritative. And if you believe it, if you don't know better, you would think that there really is a heaviest hippo named Luanja. It's all made up. The point is you must fact check everything. If you're using the tools to write anything, fact check it. Fact check the numbers, fact check the whatever tool. If you're giving it numbers, you need to fact check it because it may distort the numbers or change them. If you're asking it to create content, fact check everything because a lot of times it lies. And if it lies, people are not going to get mad at the tool at ChatGPT for lying. They're going to get mad at you. So fact check the content. I again have written a book using ChatGPT. And it's a simple prompt. We talk about prompt training. That is something, if you get an opportunity, get prompt training because the better the prompt, the better the output. On the screen, I have someone who posted online that they intentionally have used AI to add random typos to their email because everything that it produces is going to be well written, it's going to be grammatically correct, it's going to be formatted properly, but you it will be perfect. So this person who misspelled the word intentionally, but by the way, but anyway, they're saying we mess it up a little bit so people can't tell that it's AI. I also get an opportunity to teach ethics for students. I did a high school class where they think using AI is cheating. I said it's ethical if you disclose that you are using it. This image, you've noticed that I say this image that I am showing on the screen was created by ChatGPT. If you write content, you'll notice on the cover of the book that I give you, it's going to say written by Tracy Hawkins with assistance from AI. So if you disclose it, that's the ethical way of using it. So let us talk a little bit about some of the scams that you may encounter. First is a news story, and I've got a screenshot of a news article of a company. And I did the AI image, my deep fake, before I realized that the person was a guy. So my image shows a lady looking at a screen, like a Zoom, what we're doing today, and she's looking at faces on the screen. The real life story here is that a guy was on a Zoom call and he's looking at all of the executives in his company. Someone told him that he needs to wire $25 million. He did it. He called to follow up and say, I've done what you've asked me to do. It turns out every single person on that Zoom was a deep fake. They did not exist. So the cyber criminals created deep fake videos of people on the screen. And he followed the instructions and he did what the deep fake told him to do. That money is gone and it's not coming back. So you need to be alert and aware, even on Zoom calls, Zoom presentations, virtual presentations, that it could be filled with cyber criminals. So that's an area I guarantee you going forward, every time you have a virtual presentation, you will think about that going forward. There was a person who got an executive in a company who got a call from a CEO who said, I need you to wire $242,000. His CEO called him all the time, $243,000, did what he was told to do. He followed up with a call to a CEO. His CEO said, what are you talking about? I didn't tell you to do that. It was a voice deep fake. And I have people who said that when people call, you know, they just hold their phone and they won't say anything so that the criminal can't duplicate their voice, right? So they're saying, I'll just hold the phone if I think it's a scam call and I'm not saying anything. Because a criminal only needs 3 seconds of your voice in order to create an exact voice impersonation. So you could get a phone call and think that it's someone you know, a relative, a friend, and it sounds exactly like them because it's their voice. In this situation, he did it. He wired the money. The money is not coming back. For those of you who think you can outsmart the criminal by not answering when you hold your phone in hand, think about it. What happens if someone calls you and you're not available to answer? Your voicemail comes on with your voice. All they need is 3 seconds. If you're ever on social media, they can find your voice. If you've ever been on a video call with them and you're talking, they can find, all they need is 3 seconds of your voice. So now you need to beware of voice instructions. Real life facts. The Justice Department has charged 25 people in Canada for participating in a grandparent scam that defrauded elderly, and this is on the screen, I'm reading it, elderly individuals out of $21 million in Vermont and other states. It can happen to anyone. So the grandparent scam, and I've got my deepfake picture of a grandma on screen holding her little Apple phone, her iPhone. Grandparent scam was around long before AI. People would call older people and say, hey, grandma, grandpa, this is your grandson, granddaughter. I've been in an accident. Can you please send me money? Or I'm in the hospital. Will you send money? I'm in jail. Send money, but don't tell mom and dad. And they just banked on the fact that the senior citizen couldn't hear well and the voice was not going to be the same. They just hoped that they would still send the money. And it worked. It worked. So imagine how those crimes have been amplified now that you can do create anyone, you, me, all of us can create a voice impersonation. So those calls are even more serious. They're calling not just senior citizens now. Anyone who answers the phone. I had a guy in class said his teenage son called him and said, Dad, I've been in an accident. And they said that if you wire money, they will not call the police or press charges. The guy thought better of it. He hung up the phone and he called his son on his number, and his son was at a basketball game or something. It was a voice deep fake. So they're coming for all of us. If you have senior citizens in your family or just anyone, basically, have a conversation that someone may call in your voice and ask for money, information, something that just might not make sense. Tell them they're not to answer, not to have that conversation. If the call is urgent, hey, I need you to give them a gift card and I'll explain it later. Just do it right now. Wire the money now. If they're asking for money, the gift cards or information, hey, I need your bank statement really quickly. I'm from your bank. I need your bank statement. Can you fax it? Or I'm from wherever. And someone's asking for like banking information, personal information, and it doesn't make sense, pause, stop, and think before you send it. So how do you solve the problem? Have a code word. Every business, every family needs a code word. Before you pay an invoice, if someone calls you and says, I need you to pay this invoice, I just emailed it to you, go ahead, click the link and pay it. You know, I'll wait for you to do it, or I'll wait on the phone while you do it. Or if they just say, pay it, you know, and I'll watch for it. That's a no-go, especially if that's not the normal way they do it. Ask them to give you the code word. If they don't know the code word, hang up the phone. In your family, if someone's calling saying, hey, I'm at the house, the alarm's going off, can you just give me the alarm code? I can't find my notes, I've forgotten. What's the code word? If they don't know the code word, hang up the phone. So every family, every business, every organization needs to have a code word. And that's true even with vendors. If your vendors don't have good cybersecurity protocol, then you're not safe either. So you must have code words established. I got a chance to talk to senior citizens about safety. And I said, AI is a great companion because a lot of people talk about being lonely. There is an AI tool called Pi. Pi is on the screen. It says the first emotionally intelligent AI. What I like about Pi is it will have an actual conversation with you. And by now, you all know if you're using Chat or Gemini, any of those, you know, you can have a back and forth conversation with it. But Pi is designed specifically to be your friend. And I tell seniors, this is something you can use. You can talk to it. And on the screen, it says, how is your day going? I'm happy to meet you. I'm your personal AI. And then I said, hey, I'm fine. I've been busy this week. How's your week? And it says, as an AI, I don't have weeks the way you do. What's kept you busy this week? So it's asking me engaging questions. Anything excited, exciting, or just the usual grind? And then I said, I made a presentation, you know, with the leader in the AI field, and Pi is talking to me. Wow. Or whoa, that sounds awesome. You know, who was this leader, if you don't mind me asking? So you can see how it's engaging. My warning is, if you're sharing this with someone who's lonely, could be a senior or anyone who's involved in these tools, you're having conversations, beware socially, being socially engineered. Don't get so comfortable where now you feel comfortable enough to start sharing personal details, financial details. So use them with caution. Use them as they're intended, but use them with caution. So let's talk a little bit about the QR code scam. So many of us pick up our phones whenever we see a QR code. And if we're in a restaurant somewhere and you say, what's the menu? You all know this. You have to scan the QR code and the menu will pop up. On the screen is my AI creation, my deep fake, showing someone holding their phone up to a QR code. My warning is there is a QR code scam. Cyber criminals are putting QR code, fake QR codes over real QR codes, like in restaurants, on street, this one is in a parking garage or on a parking sign. So they're posting them everywhere. And the first thing we do when we see a QR code, we don't think twice what's on it. We want to scan it. Stop. Stop. If you don't know the source of the QR code, do not scan it, because a lot of times it will have malware or viruses and a link, and you download it and then your device is suddenly infected. So that's an actual scam. You can get something in the mail that has a QR code. If you don't know the sender, do not scan the QR code. Okay, and then if anyone has any questions, jump right in, because I'm looking at the clock and we're at a race to the end. And I want to make sure I get everything answered.
Tracy.
Okay, right now, let's talk.
Tracy.
Oh, go ahead.
It's great. You know, going back, I was great.
Oh, hey, great.
I'm going back to you when you were talking about your books. Is your book available? Have you offered it to like the Wolfner or my friend Congress with the book you did about
Greg, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It's kind of muffled and in and out.
Oh. I said, have you offered it to Wolfner or to NLS so that, you know, your book about your safety stuff?
Oh, I have not. Oh, that's a thought. I did reach out to, is it ACB, about presenting at the conference, but they had already had the speakers. But that's a good idea about Wolfner, to have the book available in that format. Perfect. Thank you, Greg. Okay, cybercrime is a human problem. All of us have devices, your phone, your laptop, your tablet. Those devices do not infect themselves. A ransomware, malware is not going to jump on your device just out of the blue. It takes us to do something to get a virus or a link on there. You have to click something, you have to download something. I'm the girl that's saying, stop clicking. When you click a link, you could be clicking a link that has the malware or the virus. So for the most part, if you get a text message saying, hey, your Walmart order or your Amazon order has been delayed, click here to get an update, don't do it. If you get an email saying you need to pay your invoice or thank you for your payment, you know, click here, the payment, if you didn't make this payment, or call us if you want to dispute this payment, don't do it. Because that's how they socially engineer, that's how they trick you. The goal is to stop and go to your actual account, your Amazon or your Walmart account, and see if there really is a delay in the order. If you get an invoice and you've paid something, call your bank. Do not respond to these invoices, because that's how they're tricking us, socially engineering us. Understand that there's no such thing as privacy. Again, when you enter information on the tools, that's public information. I want to talk a little bit about email. and how cyber criminals are using it. On the screen, I have asked ChatGPT to write an email to make the reader think that they've won, that they've made a $1,200 payment to thank them. And if they don't agree, then they can call the number or click the link. So ChatGPT says, hey, thank you for your payment. I want to take a moment to express my gratitude for your recent payment. The point I'm making is that is written very well. In the past, we would get these poorly written emails that were gibberish. They didn't make sense. They were in broken English, not grammatically correct. And we knew immediately that this was a scam. Nowadays, they're using these tools so it could be grammatically correct and well written. That's why you must question everything. In this situation, if you know you didn't make the payment, ignore it. If you think maybe something happened, call the actual organization, the company, after you get the number from another source, but not contained in the email. And the letter will be great and it will be written well, but don't let that fool you. So let's talk a little bit about deepfakes. On the screen, I am showing Queen Elizabeth sitting behind her desk. Now she is getting up. Her arms are up. It looks like she is dancing. And it's like, I'm looking at this video on YouTube and it's like, something's wrong here. Finally, I realized that it was a woman, and they showed the woman who was dressed in the same dress. She put Queen Elizabeth's face on her body and she got up and she danced. So anyone looking at it would think it was Queen Elizabeth. That's how real deepfakes are. That's how people are using them. There is a video on YouTube. I'm showing the picture now of Ukrainian president saying, lay down your weapons, soldier. The war is over. Another deepfake. That's how dangerous it could be. You cannot believe what you see. You need to fact check everything. There is software that you can use, that I can use to create those videos. Keep in mind, the cyber criminals are using them too. One is called Synthesia. You can make faceless videos if you want to make videos, but you don't want to be on screen. Use the tools and make it, but know the cyber criminals are doing it too. There's even one called Revoicer, which makes voices that sound realistic and not AI-like. So if you think I can tell an AI voice, the robotic, no. There are tools to stop it. On the screen, I have seven pictures of faces, people. And I always ask the question, you know, who can tell me which of those people are deepfake or real? And, you know, I have them numbered and people will start saying number one, two, or whichever. And then I have to tell them none of those people exist. Every single last one of them is a deep fake. The picture, the quality are real. They look like headshots, but none of them are real. I even had someone say they'll never do online dating because you can't tell anymore. So the quality is getting better and better. You can't believe what you see. February, we talk about romance scams, how cyber criminals are using these tools. And you hear about the, catfishing. Catfishing to the fifth power with AI. People can pretend to be someone. You'll never meet them. You can see them online, see their pictures, talk to them on the phone. So beware of the person who will not meet you in person. They often have an excuse. I'm out of town. I can't get there. I'm in the hospital. Beware the person who won't talk on the phone. So often they will just text or email. But with the creation of generative AI and the voice impersonation, they will have a conversation with you nowadays, and they will sound like whoever they want, however you want them to sound. So you can't believe what you hear. And romance scams is a big category, $540 million. So it happens to people who even think that it can happen to them. And I'm looking at the clock. Let me zip through these images here. I have an image on the screen that I created with AI that shows a living room with a coffee table and a sofa. I used an AI tool to erase the coffee table, and then I've erased the shadow of the coffee table. So looking at the picture, it doesn't even look like there was ever a coffee table there. The point of doing that is showing you the capability that cyber criminals have to create images that don't exist and images that are doctored. Now I have a picture of a basement with big cracks in the foundation, big cracks in the floor. So if you're looking for a property or even an Airbnb or just somewhere to rent, somewhere to live, and there are pictures online, someone can doctor the picture. So the pictures of the big cracks in the foundation, I have used another AI tool to magically erase them and put something on top. You can no longer believe what you see. So everything must be met with skepticism. I never say be paranoid. I don't say be scared. Just operate from knowledge. Now that you know that cyber criminals are using these tools this way, you must do your due diligence, do some homework. I am showing a picture of a, a lovely living room. And I'm also, the whole point of that is if you're going to be staying at an Airbnb or anything VRBO, any short-term rental, and then you get a message in their pictures, you have someone take a look at the pictures and it looks beautiful, it looks lovely. And then they say to you, I'm going to give you a discount. So we're going to go off of the Airbnb platform and just cash out me the money and I'll give you a big discount. Stop. Because that could be a deep fake apartment. I can show you, I can create a whole entire house, pictures of a home that are deep fake that don't exist. So that's what criminals are doing. They're creating properties that don't exist, asking you to send money off the platform where you have no protection. Just don't do it. Now we'll talk a little bit. Schools, I've done programs for schools. We can't get into it here, but understand if you have children or children in your life, they think they're talking to a peer, and it could very well be a cyber criminal who is just trying to set them up, socially engineering them. So be alert and aware what the children in your life are doing online. If you are not multilingual, generative AI makes you multilingual. You can use Google Translate to translate to any language, and you can. But you must fact check whatever you do. So if you use an AI tool, it could be Gemini or ChatGPT, and you change something to another language, and the question is, well, how do I know I said what I think I said? Use Google Lens and copy and paste whatever the output is. Make sure it's accurate, and Google Lens will tell you what you said. So use AI to fact check AI. So I'm just showing a post now that shows another language, Croatian. And then I copy and paste that Croatian output in Google Translate, and it's telling me exactly what I said. So fact check it. Now you can change anything. Meta AI is a great tool. And I have a picture of my twin sister, Stacy, my little sister, Connie. Then I'm going to put that picture in Meta AI. And I said, change our clothes to orange. It magically changed what we are all wearing to orange. I said, put us in, change the background to show that we're in a jungle. It did that. And then also put us all in leopards. So just like that, an image can be manipulated. Anyone can do this. You cannot believe what you see. And Meta does a great job of it. You can't believe what you see anymore. So you must question everything. So we're going to wind up with some cybersecurity principles that everyone needs to know, AI or not. When we talk ransomware, and I know you've heard the stories in the news about a company being the victim of ransomware, and you're thinking, what does it have to do with me? You know, I'm not a company. Then no one's coming after me. The fact that you think it won't happen to you means that it's likely to happen successfully to you. Ransomware is when a criminal takes your information, they encrypt it, and they keep it from you. So if they hack into your email, hack into an account, and they say, now we have all of your information, let's say your business, we have all of your business files. And if you don't pay us a ransom, you're not getting the information back. Just like that, you're out of business. You can't pay the ransom, or you could, but law enforcement officials say don't pay it, because if you do, first of all, you're not guaranteed to get the information that they're holding, right? Secondly, they know you'll pay, they will be back. So the goal is that don't pay the ransom, but how about let's not be in that situation anyway. So if you have cybersecurity principles in place, I'm going to list them out for you as we wrap up here, then you don't have to worry about being hacked. You've done what you can do. One thing that you must do is you must have a backup. All of your systems, all of your files, everything must be backed up. That's every organization. That's you personally. Back it up. Carbonite is a great cloud backup tool. So if they hack into your computer, your system, they can't access what's on the cloud. So all of your information should be stored securely on the cloud. So Carbonite is an example. Cybersecurity insurance. Every organization must have cybersecurity insurance. If you're running a business and you don't have it, it leaves you vulnerable, because if you have a hack, your customer's information is out there, then that's a liability and that's a risk for you. One thing I get to do is a risk assessment. And when I hear people who are operating businesses who say we don't have cyber insurance, I'm saying if you get sued and you can't write a check to cover the loss of your client, you are not only out of business, but you're jeopardizing your finances, your family or your business finances. Talk to your business insurance agent, whether it's an E&O agent or your business insurance agent. Get a cybersecurity policy in place, because as clever as criminals are with these tools, somebody you know will get hit, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You can reduce it by following these principles. If you get a software update reminder, it'll say on your phone or your device, your laptop, your any device, it'll say security update. How many of us click remind me later, because it's a hassle to stop and do it right then and there? stop doing that. If a company or organization has had a breach and they have their passwords of their customers or on the dark web and they're out there for criminals, what they do is they create a patch. So they're going to come and say, hey, we've got an update for you. You must update your device so that you're safe. And you're thinking it's a hassle. They're saying this is the solution to fix the problem. Take the time to stop and fix it. An easy way to do it is to schedule automatic updates. Make those in the wee hours of the morning where it won't interfere or interrupt your work. So have your security updates automatically scheduled. Two-step authentication. This is for your personal devices as well as your business accounts and devices. If you want to log in here on your phone on my text messages, it's going to say, go to your email account and get a PIN in order to log in over here. If you don't have access to the other account, it's not happening. There's no way a criminal is going to have access to both of your devices. That's almost 100% guaranteed way to stop someone from logging to your account is to set up two-factor authentication. You can't log in over here without the PIN from over there. Is it a little inconvenient, a few seconds to log in? Yes, yes it is. But I guarantee you that they can't have access to both, so that will stop it. That's your office devices, that's your personal devices. You must have antivirus. I had an IT guy tell me that Avast, even the free version, is perfect for antivirus. I've had it on my cell phone, my laptop, and my tablet. I have not had a virus in years. The free version is really comprehensive and it's Avast, A-V-A-S-T. One thing it will do, and on the screen, I have a picture of a screen. It says malicious website detected. This website appears to be malicious. We recommend avoiding it. So it saved me a lot of headache. So definitely invest. If not that one, find a company that you're comfortable with. In your emails, you will notice that you have a spam folder. Sometimes the spam folder doesn't collect all of the spam. So that's why I'm saying it could be a phishing email that's well written again, but from a criminal that you need to be aware of. So definitely trust your spam email. But when you get an email that doesn't seem right, don't just delete it, report it and block it. So that way the company knows, hey, we have a problem here and maybe they can stop it on some end. If you all are using free email, and who doesn't? I love Gmail. Just understand that the free emails are easier to hack. Gmail is the number one hacked email. That's the one I use. But Gmail has a lot of security features. Again, the spam folder. So beware using free email. If you are operating a business, use your company domain and not a free email for your business, because that's a risk that you're taking, knowing that it can be hacked. So use your company domain because your company more than likely has an IT department and higher standards, higher protocols, and the criminals, they know that. Okay, Tracy, let's wind up here.
This is Robin. I just wanted to let you know it's 2:46.
Okay, let me wrap this up quick. Thank you, Robin. I'm going to wrap up real quick. No more passwords, everybody. No more passwords. Passwords are the way cyber criminals are getting into your account. Passphrases is better. So a passphrase is unrelated words that don't make sense. No one can ever guess. Some of them could be like purple, tacos dance tonight, jazz loves pineapple, just something that doesn't make sense instead of a regular password. And there's a ton of them you can use, just make up something. But the better choice is a pass key. That's AI, biometric. It could be facial recognition. It could be your thumbprint. I mentioned I have a twin sister. My twin sister Stacy can't open my phone because she doesn't have the same thumbprint. So if she doesn't, I know a cyber criminal doesn't. So that's the safest way to lock your account. Again, we talked about update. If you've ever been the victim of a crime, don't just say, whoo, I got away with it. Everything's fine. Report it to the FBI, the Internet Crime Compliance Center, IC3. They may be able to solve the problem. Don't just think that they can't. And then they also will alert other people. They will investigate it. What we did today is education. You can't remember everything I said, but I bet you will be aware. You're not paranoid. You are aware. You know what to look for. So you know going forward, if you get a phone call or an email that doesn't seem quite right, you will question it. Final thing that I'm going to tell you is homework assignment. There is a website called Have I Been Pwned? And I have it on the screen, but let me spell it out. Just Google Have I Been Pwned? P-W-N-E-D. It sounds weird, no vowel there. Have I Been Pwned? Put your email address on there. You're going to get a list of companies that have had breaches where your password is out there and criminals have access to it. It's on the dark web. Change the passwords immediately. Have I Been Pwned? Just Google it. Enter your email address. on the screen now is the book that I've written for you all. I would say I'll give you a QR code, but you guys probably might not trust me after that. But I can make the link available to send out. And if you have a reader that's or screen reader, it's it can be accessed that way. But I'm going to take Greg's advice, and I'm going to contact Wolfner and see if perhaps they would be willing to help me convert that book into a format. My email address is on the Zoom invitation. My QR code's there for those of you who may want to use it. It is there. Does anyone have any questions before we get out of here?
Tracy, Diane, AA. Are you there?
Hey, Diane.
Okay, so you have touched base on so many things that have hit our household. We have had a call come in with our phone number, so it looked like the call was coming from inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and my mom had a scam call, which it was supposed to be my niece, and my mom was asking questions. Well, what's your mother's name? Blah, blah, blah. Person immediate. And we have a passcode. We have a password. I tell my mom all the time, if you don't recognize the number, it's not a family member, it's not someone you're waiting for, you know, like transportation for insurance, or, you know, doctor visit. If you don't recognize it, you're not waiting for a call, don't answer it. Let it go to the answering machine. If it's important, they'll leave a message. If they're a scammer, they won't.
Exactly.
Don't just say.
Can you mention something? Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't
you
just say yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say,
like, if they ask you your name, you don't just say yes, because then you might be answering a question to, and then you gave them yes, you gave them permission.
But I always say, you call me, don't you know my name? And if you don't know my name,
that
don't ask
too.
Me to verify information, because you call me, you should know it, or else we're not having the conversation. But one thing that you said is that phone number just looks like it's coming from in the house. They spoof the phone number. So they can use software and make a phone number look like it's coming from anyone. So it can look like it's coming from MCB. They can duplicate your voice and say, hey, everyone, we're doing a little fundraiser. I'm going to send you a link, or give me your card. We're going to take money. That's why this information needs to be out there for everyone in the organization. It sounds like Diane, but it's not Diane. It looks like he's
exactly.
coming from the MCB office, but question everything. Have a code word. Be skeptical. Be alert. Don't be paranoid, but question everything. So excellent points. And it sounds like your mom is
sharp.
Could
I add one more thing?
Sure.
My mom's Social Security got hacked. And her next check was going to her new bank of choice. She didn't do that. She thinks that was like a medical bill scam. However, my suggestion is lock down your Social Security. Go to the Social Security office, because she would not have known if she wouldn't have gotten a letter. And her next check was going to her new bank of choice, which she did not do. So she immediately ran to Fenton, which is the Social Security office in Missouri, closest to where she used to work at the time, and she locked her account down.
Sounds like your mom is smart and sharp, and everybody needs
to
have that level of skepticism.
Well, you learn. You're not smart until you get hit however many times, and then you start wising up.
But that's why I tell the story, so you learn what happens to other people, so hopefully it does not happen to you, and we learn from the stories, because once it happens to someone else, you'll think, oops, what do I need to do? I don't want any of us, to be the ones that it happens to, so that's why I teach proactive safety. Let's avoid it before it happens.
Exactly. Well,
okay.
Thank you, Tracy. Do you have to go now?
I do. I need to get up to Platte City. I've got a long drive, and I've got to be at a certain time. Does anyone have any other questions or anything that I can possibly answer before I go?
Can you respell the website? Have I been pwned? The pwned part of it?
Okay. Just Google Have I Been, PWNED.
E-W-N-E-D?
So, pwned, like owned with a P. Have I been pwned? And put your email address, put your phone number in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Tracy, is there a way that you could be contacted if someone wanted to ask you a question? Would you share an email address, or how
sure.
would you...
Sure. And yes, I have a Gmail account. Okay. Everybody always says, you tell us not to have one. It's like, yeah, I have one, but I don't have client information on it. So safety and security source. Sources with an S like Sam. Safety, A-N-D, security source at gmail.com. And if you email me, I can send you a PDF copy of the booklet. If you can download it, if that works with your screen reader, then let me know. And then I will also keep you all updated on what Wolfner, if I can reach them and find out if they may be interested in carrying it in different formats.
All right.
And awesome. I know we had 45 minutes allocated for this, and I could do this all day. I mean, I had to cut my presentation down. But going forward, if there are any other conversations, we can do personal safety. We can do just a whole scam program or whatever you may need. Just let me know, because my goal is that no one here is the victim of a preventable crime.
Well, you just stole my thunder. I was going to ask you. I know you got a whole lot more stuff, and I was going to ask you, could we bring you back and cover something?
Oh, yeah. That's what I do. I want to prevent it. Prevent preventable crimes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, I guess we could let you go. We appreciate you being here this week and sharing all of this information, which was extremely, extremely helpful. And I mean, it was a lot of information. So we'll share the link for you to download the information. And again, thank you. Have a good rest of your day. Day, Tracy.
Wonderful. And if I can get a copy of it, a copy of the presentation, that would be great. And I want to thank you all so much for being interactive, participating, and everybody stay safe.
Right. Greg, did you want to say anything?
No, I would just want to thank Tracy for the time she took out of her day today, and thank everybody else for participating. And I hope some people picked up some nice tips and tidbits today.
Yes.
And Tracy, I just want to say hi to you real quick. Sabrina used to live in Kansas City.
That was Sabrina. I know who you are, Sabrina. Hi.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Oh, yeah, I know you. I'm so glad you were here today.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Tracy, do we have something? No, Tracy Anderson.
Oh, Tracy Anderson. Well, next week, we were trying to fill in the time slot with a guest that hasn't confirmed yet. But in 2 weeks, we'll have more safety talk with April Gray. That'll be on the 20th. We'll also bring in Carl Chappell on the 20th to announce the 50-50 for June.
Okay. Well, thank you all for taking time out of y'all day today. Everybody have a nice weekend. Stay safe and go Royals.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Have a good rest of the day and good weekend.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.